This is the Warren County Radio Bible School, and you're welcome to go get your Bible and study along with us. We have been studying about Elijah, the brave reformer, and we're just about through with a detailed study of that time in Elijah's life when he had that contest on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. In fact, the verse we're going to be looking at as we bring this study to a conclusion is 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 39, where it is written, "And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, Jehovah, He is God. Jehovah, He is God." This contest that Elijah had was that fire would come down when they would pray to their gods, and those prophets had prayed to Baal to no avail. But when Elijah prayed, that fire came down, and the demonstration was undeniable. And so the people said, "Jehovah, He is God." Well, we'll look at Elam's notes on that in just a moment. But before we do, I need to remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. And our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have worship on Sundays and Bible study on Wednesday nights. And all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's read the notes that E.A. Elam put together for the Sunday school teachers for the Sunday of May 20th, 1923. The agreement and test was, "And God that answereth by fire, let him be God." The people saw this and were convinced. They hesitated no longer. They went no longer limping between the two sides. Acknowledging Jehovah as the true God, in reverence and awe, they fell on their faces and said, "Jehovah, He is God. Jehovah, He is God." This was the answer to Elijah's question, whether Baal or Jehovah is God. To own Jehovah as the true God, or to acknowledge Jesus as the Christ, and at the same time refuse to obey Him, is to prove false and untrue to one's convictions. These people proved their sincerity and convictions by acting at once on Elijah's order to take the prophets of Baal. Let not one of them escape. All of these Elijah brought down to the brook Kishon and slew them there. 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 40. It was God's law that such prophets should be slain. We read in Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5. "If there arise among you a prophet, or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the signs or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let's go after other gods which thou hast not known, let's serve them, thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall not walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, or ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear Him, and keep His commandments, and obey His voice, and ye shall serve Him, and cleave unto Him. And that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams, shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and to redeem you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee." We read later in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 20. "But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that thou shalt speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Well, that's the way it was under that old covenant. And the goodness and the mercy of God for the salvation of the nation, these false prophets were slain. It seems that Ahab consented to it. The execution of these prophets was just because God had done it, and His judgment is righteous. All idolaters and false teachers, with all who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be punished with everlasting destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. We read in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 10, beginning in verse 6, 2 Thessalonians 1. Let me read 6 through 10. It is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation on them that troubled you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 2 about the justice and the goodness of God both together. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 1, Paul wrote, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and dost the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and the revelation of the righteousness of God's judgment, who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. All idolaters, false teachers, with all who know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be punished with eternal destruction from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might. After the false prophets were slain, there was an abundance of rain. The idolatry of the king and people had occasioned the drought, and now that it had been accomplished, its chastening effect of rain would come. Space will not permit the writing of the retreat to Horeb, his despondency, God sending him back to the field of action, and his ascension. But we are going to talk about his return to the Mount of Transfiguration. You see, an amazing thing about this prophet Elijah, he is not just an Old Testament character, but he is also a New Testament character. And the last we read of Elijah is in the New Testament, and he is with Jesus. We read this in Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 through 8, where it says, "And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make thee here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. It is interesting. Jesus appearing with Moses, Elijah appearing with Moses and talking with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. It is as though Moses stood for the words of all the law, and Elijah stood for all the words of all the prophets, and Jesus then for the words of the new covenant, and they were to listen to Jesus rather than Moses or Elijah. But what a tribute that if you're going to represent all of the prophets in the Old Testament, who would you call? And the one sent to represent all of those prophets is this brave reformer, Elijah. Now that's going to conclude the Sunday school lessons we've had on Elijah. And I turn the page and I see that the next prophet we're going to study, or that next great person in the Bible, is the prophet Isaiah. Let me tell you the background to Isaiah. Elijah was a prophet to northern Israel. The northern tribes of Israel had rebelled against the family of David that was ruling in Jerusalem and had formed their own nation and chosen their own kings. And there was much conflict between the 10 northern tribes in Israel and the tribes left to the south that was governed out of Jerusalem. And so you have the southern kingdom of Judah and the northern kingdom of Israel, a divided kingdom. And most of the time, there was conflict and turmoil and trouble between the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom. But just to the north and a little to the east of the northern kingdom was the kingdom of Samaria. And the kingdom of Syria. And so you have Judah, and then to the north of that, Israel, and then just to the north and a little east of that, centered in Damascus, is the kingdom of Syria. And Syria and Israel were often in conflict with one another as well. But then, off further to the east, another mighty kingdom was arising. It was the kingdom of Assyria, and the Syrians feared the Syrians filled the Assyrians off to the east. And Syria and Israel decided, we need to get together and oppose those Assyrians lest they overwhelm us. And they wanted the kingdom of Judah and Jerusalem to be part of their confederacy against the rise of the Assyrians. And so the king of Syria and the king of Israel called on the king of Jerusalem to come and be part of their pact. But the king of Jerusalem wanted nothing to do with it. And he actually sent to the Assyrians for help against his two northern neighbors. Now this angered those northern kings, and they decided they would go to Jerusalem and displace the king that was ruling in Jerusalem and put another king up on their own selves of their own choosing. But that was a failure. They were not able to accomplish that. And so those Assyrians came down, and they overtook Syria, and they overtook Israel. And we even read that they tried to overtake Jerusalem, and they came right up to Jerusalem, but they were not going to be able to overtake it. And they were sent back to the land of Assyria. And as they went back, they took with them captives of the 12 tribes of Israel. And so they're called the Lost Tribes of Israel. It was during this time that Isaiah was the prophet.